today on Annenberg Radio News.
I had to fix the glove. The glove took like an hour and a half, 2 hours today.
An artist in Culver City talks about the hard work he puts into an art form that is usually frowned upon. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. I'm Charlie McGovern, filling in for Carrie Poppy. Get well soon, Carrie. Medical professionals around the nation are preparing to deal with possible Ebola patients. And last night, employees at the Centinela Hospital Medical Center were working to make sure the disease does not spread to Los Angeles. Taylor Haney has this report.
A hospital in Inglewood is testing a person for Ebola who recently traveled to Liberia. The person who was taken from Los Angeles International Airport to the hospital overnight, according to Centinela Hospital Medical Center, LA County Health Officer Dr. Jeffrey Gunzenhauser held a teleconference today to give an update on the virus.
Centinela Hospital released some information this morning about a particular individual. We've been working with them, and we can assure you and the public that all the proper procedures that were necessary, including taking the patient's history and evaluating the patient and managing the patient clinically, were done very appropriately.
Here's what a few USC students think about Ebola.
I don't want to get sick with Ebola either, and no one does, and it's highly contagious. However, I mean, there's just too much media around it right now, and I feel like we should be aware of it, but not like scared of it, you know what I mean?
It sounds scary and unpleasant, and I don't want Ebola.
Worldstar Hip Hop on Twitter loves making Ebola jokes, which I don't think are very funny.
I think that the CDC should have like a market campaign to show the public how deadly this disease is.
How easy it spreads is quite scary. So like the fact that now it's in Texas, what doesn't stop it from coming to California?
LA County health officials say the patient in Inglewood does not qualify as a suspected case because he does not have a fever or other telltale symptoms. Taylor Haney, Annenberg Radio News.
Two interest groups that represent immigrant rights filed a lawsuit today against Baldwin Park and its police department for what they say was an illegal detention. Sergio Flores was arrested for driving without a license and kept in a Baldwin jail for 3 days on an immigration hold. Here's Flores speaking through a translator.
Yeah, it's muy difícil.
It's very difficult to go through this immigration process because of the police's actions.
Es triste saber de que
it makes me sad to think about being deported and separated from my family.
The Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, or MALDEF, says his arrest violated a California law that went into effect this year. The Trust Act says people arrested for minor offenses should be released promptly. MALDEF says Flores was detained for 4 days, and according to his attorney, he was subject to sleep deprivation and threatened with deportation. Advocates say the detainment was especially egregious given that Flores had no previous criminal record.
What Baldwin Park City did is that when they arrested Sergio Flores for driving without a license, they honored that hold, right, which is illegal.
That was Jonathan Perez, who was part of the team that tried to get Flores released from jail.
And he was placed in deportation proceedings and immigration detention. And so now we are, you know, trying to get legal action to make sure that justice is served for Sergio.
Advocates say the Flores case is not unusual. Jessica Bansal is a staff attorney for the National Day Labor Organizing Network. She says this is just one instance of a much larger and common problem.
So the issue of people being stopped by police for minor offenses and transferred to immigration and placed in deportation proceedings is a huge problem throughout the country. Hundreds of thousands of people have gone through what Mr. Flores went through.
Annenberg Radio contacted the Baldwin Park PD for comment, but did not get a response. In what looks like a turn for the better, the Congressional Budget Office projects the deficit for 2014 will be at its lowest level since Obama became president. The projection continues the decreasing trend of the deficit. And the news about the deficit couldn't come at a better time. President Obama is raising money for the Democratic Party this week. He's coming to Los Angeles tomorrow for the 20th time in his administration. Rebecca Gibeon reports.
President Obama arrives in Los Angeles tomorrow to attend a Democratic fundraiser at actress Gwyneth Paltrow's home. He'll also take part in a discussion about the economy. Then, on Friday, President Obama is expected to give an executive order to protect over 300,000 acres of land in the San Gabriel Mountains. The mountains attract over 3 million visitors a year. Activists and some members of Congress are fed up with the trash and crime in the area. With the order, the U.S. Forest Service will make visitor safety and natural resource conservation a priority. Rekha Gibeon, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Eric Garcetti announced today that Los Angeles was awarded $36 million as part of the Promise Zone initiative. Los Angeles is one of the first five Promise Zones selected nationwide. The money will provide academic assistance to 10,000 LAUSD students and will be used to help prevent teen pregnancy. As part of this grant, the school system will also receive $7 million to help students prepare for careers. In January, President Obama announced that cities around the country would receive federal assistance to create economic security, improve education, and reduce violent crime. For many low-income people in downtown LA, getting emergency health care is not easy. But one housing organization is working to address the need for housing and health care. As Sarah Zahedi reports, the Skid Row Housing Trust celebrated the grand opening of its Star Apartments today.
With that, Star Apartments officially opened today. 100% of its residents were referred by the LA County Department of Health Services. The apartments are called supportive housing because they give residents a place to live and primary health care, mental health, and substance abuse services on site. They also offer wellness activities, including arts and exercise programs. The 98,000-square-foot building is located at 240 East Spring Street, and atop the gray modern-style cubular structure is a rooftop garden. Congressman Xavier Becerra, LA City Councilman Jose Huizar, and District 2 County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas were among the speakers at the event.
Not a matter of charity, this is a matter of justice.
Ridley Thomas also urged audience members to demand more resources to reduce homelessness in LA.
Say more rather than less.
More rather than less.
Help somebody be at the right place at the right time.
The Skid Row Housing Trust hopes Star Apartments will serve as a step forward toward having no more homeless people on LA streets. Reaching that goal will involve many hard conversations in years to come. One resident praised Skid Row Housing Trust, saying the staff at Star is supportive of the residents. And now, they can afford the hospital visits that were out of reach before. Sarah Zahedi, Annenberg Radio News.
The LAPD was out in full force around campus this morning, handing out tickets for moving violations of the two-wheeled variety. A group of motorcycle police waited at the corner of McClintock and Jefferson for bicyclists to ride against traffic on Jefferson from Orchard Avenue. Students had varying opinions.
I think they're being a little overly harsh because sometimes there are different circumstances or situations where one can't be on the right side of the road.
I think that LAPD is doing it to keep students safer, and if it's going to prevent like a car accident, then I guess it's a good thing.
The tickets for the moving violations were $15. Mountain lions are inbreeding and losing genetic diversity throughout Southern California mountain ranges. Researchers at UC Davis have found that the lion populations lack newcomers because freeways and human development restrict their habitats. Because of habitat restrictions, the cats often kill their male offspring and mate with their female offspring. For the cats to properly mate, they would need over 300 miles to get around and find mates. The company that has operated the Greek Theater for decades says the public wants it to continue in that role. Nederlander says it collected 12,000 signatures in the past 24 hours in support of the company's contract with the city. A city commission is considering giving the contract to Live Nation next year. Daniel Jimenez reports.
The Greek Theater located in Los Feliz has been bringing top-notch performances for the past 40 years. Raina Wasserman is the general manager of the Greek Theater.
We've had everybody from Lord for the last two nights to Sam Smith a week ago.
And we apologize for having some technical difficulties. We'll try to get that story for you later.
This is the last day of the current contract.
A new comprehensive online voting guide named Voter's Edge was launched today to help make voting a little bit easier for Californians. MapLight, and the League of Women Voters of California Education Fund partnered together to create this product. Voter's Edge is meant to give all information regarding each item on the ballot list to citizens so they are well informed before voting. MapLight says it has sharing options as well as email, Facebook, and Twitter as a way to get people engaged in the issues. The Hall of Justice building in downtown Los Angeles is getting a new lease on life. The historic building closed in 1994 when it was damaged in the Northridge earthquake. Today, the Los Angeles County District Attorney and the Sheriff's Office officially opened the building. Phoenix So was there and had this report.
A large crowd happily braved the heat this morning to celebrate the reopening of Los Angeles' Hall of Justice. The building pulls together the District Attorney's Office and the County Sheriff Department's Office. District Attorney Jackie Lacey pointed out the Hall of Justice was the centerpiece for LA County's justice system from its first opening in 1926 until the Northridge earthquake forced it to close in 1994.
Notorious criminals such as Bugsy Siegel, Charles Manson, Sirhan Sirhan, and Night Stalker serial killer Richard Ramirez were jailed here.
Lacey said reopening the building will reunify our office, which had been scattered between various downtown locations. Britta Steinbrenner, captain of the Sheriff's Headquarters Bureau, also predicted the new building will streamline operations.
So we're the city hub now. Instead of everybody being co-located, now everybody's in walking distance with one another.
The estimated $230 million renovation brought the 88-year-old building up to code. It also cleaned up decades worth of grime that had accumulated on the building's exterior. And it restored the grand lobby. Patricia Pipkin's father worked for the Sheriff's Department. Pipkin first visited the Hall of Records in the 1960s, and she appreciates the nod to past architectural history.
I really feel like they've done a great job of preserving the original sort of lofty, elegant, gorgeous, and yet noir feel of the original interior.
DA Lacey hopes this new building will not only make her job more effective, but that it will open the justice system up to LA County residents again.
My hope is that people will come to this building not just to seek justice, but to absorb it.
The Hall of Justice is the oldest surviving building in the LA Civic Center, which also includes City Hall and other government buildings. Phoenix So, Annenberg Radio News.
Taking a look at the weather, it's finally starting to get a little more autumnal, at least for this part of the country. Look for highs in the low 80s and partly cloudy skies through the weekend. Cool temperatures in the low 60s at night make for a perfect time to bust out those light sweaters and earth tones. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Cal State Northridge faculty want a fair contract. Keep listening to see how they plan to do it. Today, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy blocked a pro-gay marriage ruling in Idaho. This happened in response to the U.S. Court of Appeals blocking gay marriage bans in Idaho and Nevada for the ninth time yesterday. Idaho government officials then filed a request to block the ruling. Kennedy granted the request to allow Idaho's gay marriage opponents to make their case. The legal fight has taken another twist, as gay marriage opponents in Nevada filed their own request to block yesterday's ruling in the state. Los Angeles is known for their movies, but is there equality in the movie industry when it comes to star roles? Carrie Poppy spoke to someone about the issues of equality among minority groups in the movie industry.
My name is Mark Schwede, and I'm the Project Administrator for the Media Diversity and Social Change Initiative here at USC Annenberg.
So Mark, this project, as I understand it, is about how women, people of color, how they're represented in film. Is that right?
Actually, we focus on the portrayals of women and girls in popular media content, as well as people from underrepresented groups. We have worked for 10 years in this arena. Yeah, we content analyze every speaking character within media content, looking for how women are portrayed, how men are portrayed with regards to their demographics, as well as sexualization measures, and even we've looked at occupations of characters. Our initiative is Dr. Stacey Smith, Dr. Catherine Pieper, and myself.
So what have the findings been? How are women like me faring?
Women are not well represented. We find that they're outnumbered by men, And when they do show up, unfortunately, they're sexualized in rates that are higher than men. We also have found in our most recent study this summer, we looked at the racial ethnic background of all the characters that we've looked at. It's about 5,000 characters per film. And we found that, yes, the majority of characters are white, and there are people from underrepresented groups that are not equal to the rates that we see in the actual population. So people think the feminist movement, things have happened, things have changed, and yet we still see these patterns hold even today.
So you're a guy, and it sounds like a lot of your research is on women's portrayal in film. What made you care so much about that issue?
I value fairness in life and equality. I think that's a higher goal, just make sure that everything's fair and equal for everybody. Everybody has the same chance to tell their story or be seen. Everyone has a shot at equality. We're doing the largest census of characters on screen, and we can definitely point out when someone says, no, things are better for women. No, they're not. There's still a long way to go.
So if someone cares about this, they see that people aren't very represented in the films, but they're not in the film industry themselves, they're just moviegoers. Is there anything they can do about this situation?
I think, first of all, their awareness, and then letting people in the positions of power know in one way or the other. I think that we take ownership ourselves to not just stop at the reporting of this content. And we've also taken strides to have conversations with people at gatekeeping decision-making places so that they can either make a change, be knowledgeable about this issue, or work together to try to without impeding on creativity or any kind of, you know, core aspect of the filmmaking process that people enjoy, but draw attention to these issues to make things better for the larger sense of diversity and equality.
So maybe people should make a fuss.
Maybe they should. They need to be first informed. We're going to keep trying to make sure these reports come out and that people know exactly what these issues are.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. This has been great.
Thank you very much, Carrie.
TV shows featuring actor Stephen Collins are disappearing from the airwaves. As Julie Zucker reports, networks are getting nervous over allegations that he molested young girls.
It started with the celebrity site TMZ, when it obtained a tape where actor Stephen Collins confesses to molesting at least three young girls. Collins is best known for his role as the pastor and father on Seventh Heaven. The New York Police Department launched a criminal investigation based on the tape, which was recorded at a private therapy session Collins had with his estranged wife, Faye Grant. Since the release of the tape, Collins was dropped from the upcoming movie Ted 2, and an episode of Scandal, along with reruns of Seventh Heaven, have all been pulled. Victor Figueroa, Annenberg Radio News.
Graffiti. It's seen everywhere in a city like Los Angeles, but as Camille Requiestas found out, there is hard work and artistic meaning in some pieces around Culver City.
My real name is Samir. I go by Evil One. I'm part of the Seventh Letter crew. I'm in Culver City. Ooh, that one. Being part of the whole art thing, it's very public, especially when you have it like outdoor in a public place. People can, have a reaction to it. So it's my duty to make it dead on. You know, Muhammad Ali, especially with the owner, because he's a big fan of Muhammad Ali. So I had to come back and forth and just do it maybe two or three times until it got to where it's at now. And I still need to come for like another 20 hours, I would say, just to, because aerosol, the medium of aerosol paint, it's a tough one to use. And these people don't really understand. It looks really awesome to me because I've done it for like a long time. But, the public will have an opinion on it. You know what I mean? So that's my stress right now. It's like, do they see what they want to see with Muhammad Ali? Sure. You know, and even if the jawline is off a little bit or the glove, I had to fix the glove. The glove took like an hour and a half, 2 hours today just to get it right. You know what I mean? But once the proportions are right and all the math is there, then it becomes fun.
September 2nd. Now it's time to hear the sounds of another place that's uniquely Los Angeles.
Sonic City! Sonic City!
Counterclockwise is Earth rotating, Earth spinning.
My name is Soraya Moreno, and I live in the San Fernando Valley in North Hollywood. And I'm here with my mom, Blanca, and she's visiting from Ecuador. I brought her here so she could see a beautiful view of downtown LA and see the observatory. This is her first time here.
Sorprendente.
Amazing, she said. Amazing. So we had a good time.
Sonic City!
Cal State schools have been fighting for a fair contract. JJ Maldonado reports about how Cal State Northridge participated in the fight.
Today marks the 100th day since the contracts between CSU and its staff and faculty expired. Earlier today, faculty were to deliver collected letters to California State University Northridge President Diane Harrison. One particular sticking point has been the ability of staff to collectively bargain. Professor of Cinema and Television Art Nate Thomas says that the two main issues are workload and salary. Thomas is the president of the Northridge chapter of the California Faculty Association.
Our faculty have had stagnation for 6 years. We took furloughs in 2008, and it's a hardship at this point. And we want to go ahead and make sure that our faculty are paid fairly. They're severely underpaid. And in the CFA, we have a saying that faculty working conditions are student learning conditions.
Thomas said that the working situation within the CSU system is financially unbearable for many of his colleagues.
I have faculty reporting to me that they're filing bankruptcy so that they can wipe out credit card debt, so that they can pay the student loans and live and pay their rent and their car note. Never have I seen it where the faculty are this riled up.
There are 22,000 staff and faculty within the CSU system. And Thomas pointed to the long-term impact of those staff who deal directly with students.
When a student's successful, but they don't call the chancellor, they don't call the vice presidents, they call their faculty, the people that mentored them. We're not overpaid, we're severely underpaid. And the workload, the technology now has changed. There's emails, literally 7 days a week, there's work that our faculty are doing at home.
Ira Weiner, the vice president of the tenure track of the CSUN Faculty Association, outlined the consequences of overworked faculty.
Faculty are stressed and are not able to produce at their best, then students lose out.
Weiner said that the wages have gone down in recent years, despite budget changes that show the opposite.
I think they're very cautious about what the budget might look like in future years. Obviously, budgets have been cut, but they have been restored.
I spoke to some Northridge students who seem to know little of the campaign.
It's not a professional, like, white-collar job, so I guess that's enough.
Jenny Quinones-Skinner, a librarian at Northridge, disagrees, though.
As somebody that's worked here for the past 7 years, it's really, you know, as we've looked at a lot of changes in Los Angeles, you know, locally, we've got a lot of cost of living increases that have gone up. We have more students. We have 40,000 students that are here. So more students is more bodies. It's more people that come to our door that need help with their research assignments.
For the moment, though, staff will continue to work without contracts.
If you happen to be up before dawn this morning, say 5 a.m., you might have gotten to see a total eclipse of the moon. The eclipse, which could be seen from parts of South Africa, East Asia, and Australia, was a blood moon. It's called that because the entire moon takes on a coppery red. This rare phenomenon dazzled stargazers worldwide. If you miss this one, you'll get another chance in April 2015. And now we check in with Madison Mills to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
So our top story tonight is going to be about Ebola. This has been in the news a lot lately, obviously, but today the first person who was diagnosed with Ebola in the U.S. died this morning, and so obviously health officials are freaking out about that, and everyone is kind of trying to make sure that Americans rest assured that Ebola is not going to become a national problem. In LAX today, they also started passing out flyers that explain how screenings for Ebola are going to work. So that's happening. In breaking news, Sigma Nu has a small issue on their hands. Five members of the fraternity were allegedly arrested, according to the Pasadena Star. We don't know for sure. For stealing plants from a house in Alhambra that they were going to use for decoration at the fraternity house. So that was a smart decision. And similarly, SAE closed its doors today and will no longer exist on USC's campus. So bye, SAE. Sorry, you don't exist anymore. Must be a bummer.
All right, Madison, thank you. Remember to tune in at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Entrepreneurs are invited to come together to share ideas, listen to speakers, and create connections with one another on October 15th. Startup Equinox will be hosting the event at the USC Campus Center Ballroom. Their goal is to connect people with one another who have ideas for entrepreneurial ventures or need help for startup companies. The event will have a couple of keynote speakers, musical performances, time to meet new people, and even an after-event mixer for those who want to continue meeting people when the event is over. Asher Ganut is the president of the startup Equinox, and he says it's more than just a startup business.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a startup either, so that's why I focus on like the word innovation, because it's really just about creating solutions for problems that exist in our world. And like a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to be an entrepreneur, I don't want to start a business. You don't have to. You just have to meet a group of great people and then just work on a project. And so that's a big focus as well. And it's not kind of focused on people who just want to start businesses.
The event will start at 7 p.m. Wednesday, October 15th. Boxer Muhammad Ali is coming to the big screen. The Los Angeles premiere of I Am Ali will be at the Arclight Hollywood this evening at 7:30. The attendees include director Claire Lewins and the other 10 actors and crews of the movie. Layla Ali, daughter of the famous Muhammad Ali, will also be present during the premiere. I Am Ali provides access to Boxer Ali's personal archive of audio journals, as well as interviews and testimonials from his inner circle of family and friends to tell the story. The movie will be in the theater and on demand on October 10th. That's it for this Wednesday. We had help today from ATVN, Sarah Hansen, Mark Love, Holly Thompson, Danya Zhu, and Jules Zucker. Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Camille Requiestas is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Victor Figueroa. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Charlie McGovern.